sponsored by Taylor Freelance, Rainier Ballistics, Hodgson Powders, and JPL Precision.
Hi, welcome to Power Factor. I'm Larry, and this week I'm going to talk a little bit more about this this 40 open gun that I've been alluding to for a long time. Still don't have the gun yet, but I've been getting, you know, since I've been kind of piecing my way along here, we've talked about the optic, and we've talked about the holster, and I've talked about the fact that I won the gun that I'm going to base all this on. I've been getting a lot of questions about it because I've been talking about it so much lately. And a couple of the biggest questions are, why 40 versus 9? And I think, you know, just as a history lesson for you, if you don't know me enough already, or if you haven't seen the episodes way back when I first started, I had a 40 open gun at one time. It was a STI based gun. Essentially what I did was I got a supremely good deal that you would all be jealous of on a 40 caliber limited STI. It was such a good deal that I said, you know, to my friend I bought it from, I said, no offense, but I'm gonna take this 5-inch top end off of here and I'm gonna put a 6-inch top end on it and shoot limited because I've been wanting to do a 6-inch top end. And I had JPL Precision build that entire top end from scratch for me, and it was awesome. It was so awesome. It was everything I hoped it would be, and my scores jumped 15-20% overnight with that limited gun. Now that frame was AccuRailed, and what that, you know, I'm not going to go into what that means, but essentially we had to get the new 6-inch top end fit right to that frame, but I still had this 5-inch slide that fit the frame, and my hopes were someday to turn into an open gun as a cheap way into getting it open, because I've already got all the stuff I needed, the slide, the barrel, it all fit the frame, I got the mags, I got the dies in my reloading press, I got everything I need. All I had to do was get a compensator and an optic, essentially, and an optic mount, and then on top of that I got a 170 millimeter magazine. But just very few things got me into open about as cheaply as I could back in the day. And I've since sold off all the STI stuff, and now I'm interested in open again. And because I've done 40 once in the past, I just figure I'm gonna do it again. I've shown off recently, I don't have it here in front of me, my 171 millimeter Glock magazine, built out of a 22 round Glock 40 mag and the Taylor Freelance plus 3 extension. It gets you 25 rounds. So why 40 open? That's kind of why, because I've done it before, I'm comfortable with it. I just kind of don't like loading 9 millimeter. I like keeping my press set up for 40, and I feel like it's a cheaper way to get into shooting open. Sure, if I do it on a Glock, everything's kind of cheap compared to STI, but that's kind of my why I'm doing it. You know, because like I say, I've done it before, I've got the mags, I've got the press, I've got the experience loading for it, all that kind of stuff. Now, one thing I hear a lot is, but 40 open is such a disadvantage compared to 9mm, 38 super, all the 9mm diameter calibers. You're such a disadvantage on round capacity. Well, a little bit, but not much. So consider this. I've got a big stick magazine that holds 25 rounds plus one in the chamber. So I got 26 on board. The best guys running reliable magazines, you're looking at 30 in the mag, one in the chamber, so 31 in the gun. So we're talking a deficit of 5 rounds. So if we're running a stage that is exactly 26 rounds, theoretically, I can shoot that whole stage without a reload, similar to the guys that when we're running a 31 round stage. Now, 31 round stages aren't quite as common. If you're that high, you're probably shooting 32. But anyway, so that's at the point where at 26 rounds, I could complete the course, theoretically, but I'm probably going to throw a reload in there. But at 27 rounds, I'd absolutely have to reload. Once you get to 28, 29, 30 rounds, now we're approaching the limit, the capacity limit of a 9mm gun. those guys are probably going to reload somewhere just for insurance, especially if there's steel on the stage. I don't know what it is about steel targets and steel plates, but you know, if you miss just a little, you miss completely. It's not like you miss the A zone and you get a C instead. You either hit it or you miss it, and it might go, and if it goes down, it either goes down or it doesn't, and you might have to re-engage. So typically, if there's steel on the stage, let's say it's a 28 round course, a guy with a 30 round magazine is probably planning to reload somewhere. So it's not that big of a disadvantage. On a big field course like that, and you've got 8 round maximum per array, there's somewhere to reload. Does it slow you down to reload versus not reload? Yeah, a little bit, of course. But it's not that bad. So I actually shot in 2011, the Area 1 championship match was held in Albany, Oregon. My favorite range so far of all the ranges I've been to, by the way. But I shot that match with my 40 open gun. And I was chatting with the local master class shooter shooting his 9mm open, and we kind of compared notes through our match booklet. How many times did you reload on this stage and that stage and that stage? Some had mandatory reloads because they were like a standard exercise. So add up all that whole match, 12 stages, and I think I reloaded 3 times more than the 9mm guy. So that's just an example that, you know, you're at a small disadvantage. But it's not that big. It's not that big of a disadvantage. In a 12-round match, a 12-stage match, I reloaded 3 times more than the 9mm guy. That's just one example. But so anyway, that's kind of addressed the why and addressed the this perceived disadvantage. Now, the other perceived disadvantage that I hear a lot is that the 40 caliber guns don't make enough gas to work the compensator. I hear that people, I mean, you know, the Brian Enos Forum is kind of the place to be for forums as far as competition shooting goes. And you see people pick up that phrase and repeat it all over the place. And I don't know if they've got experience with it. I don't know. I know for sure some people do have experience shooting 40 open, but they recite this phrase that the 40 caliber doesn't make enough gas to work the compensator. Again, just real quick, you know, if you're not familiar, working the compensator, what we're talking about is, you know, the bullet passes through the compensator, it's got a series of chambers, the gases get redirected upwards, which pushes your muzzle down, it reduces your muzzle flip, and then the baffles in that compensator also kind of yank the gun forward a bit, which reduces the recoil back into your hand, so it's a softer shooting gun. The most important thing is that muzzle flip so you can track that dot, that optic sight, so the dot doesn't leave the lens. And when the gun goes bang, your eyes are on the next target or ready for the next shot, and you're moving the gun to that next, the place where you want to fire next. If the dot leaves the lens, then you have to wait for it to come back and shoot again. So the important thing is to reduce that muzzle flip. So like I say, I hear and I read this all the time. People say, don't bother with 40. You know, it often happens when somebody says, hey, I'm thinking about shooting open and I'm thinking about using my Glock 35 or my Glock 22 or my whatever. And a bunch of people dogpile on and go, no way, don't do it because the Glock, or rather the 40 caliber doesn't make enough gas to work the compensator. So I dispute that. I have experience working with it and I'm gonna tell you about that now.
Here,
go ahead. So what I did was, when I was working up my load, I had my 40 open gun built, and then I started testing loads. If you're using 9, if you're using 38 Super Comp, there's so many people out there, it's well known, with this compensator, with that compensator, whatever, here's the load you want to go with. And there's a lot of people that swear by a certain load, which means powder type, charge weight, bullet weight, overall length, all that good stuff. There's a lot of people doing it, so you got a larger sample size of people saying this works or this doesn't work, or this is my favorite and here's why. When you're shooting 40 open, you're a little bit more on your own because there are fewer people doing it. And everyone's got a different barrel length. Everybody's got a different compensator. Everybody likes a different powder, a different bullet weight, a different bullet manufacturer. So you're kind of on your own to experiment, but I guarantee you it works. So when I first started doing it, I had some advice to use Ramshot Silhouette. It's a fairly popular open division powder for the 38 Super guys, for example. So somebody suggested Ramshot Silhouette. So I got myself a pound of it, I think, maybe a couple pounds, I don't remember. And then I had lots of 40 bullets to experiment with. I used every bullet weight with a standard conventional lead bullet that you could think of. I mean, I started with this, just everything at first. I mean, 180 grain, 165, 155, 140, and 135. Those are the most common conventional bullet weights for 40. I used all of those with various charge weights, trying to come up with something that would both make major power factor and properly work the compensator. And I went through many iterations of it, and eventually I kind of got down to something that worked okay. Gave me major power factor based on the chronograph results, but I was still losing the dot. The gun was still flipping enough that I would lose track of the dot, and I felt like, what it felt like to me was, it felt more like a limited gun, where, you know, with a standard non-ported barrel, everything goes out the end, and after the bullet's gone, all that gas going out the end contributes to muzzle flip. So at the time, I was remembering an article written by Bob Londergren from Brazos Custom, and he's got like a maintenance article in every front sight magazine, every front sight that's came out since I've been in the sport for 12, 13 years. Every magazine, every month, he's got a column where he's talking about maintenance and gunsmithing and what have you. And once upon a time, he came out with an article that I had remembered, and I dug through my stuff and I found it. And he describes one test. This is not the end all be all, but it's a good test of your compensator slash your load performance. And what he said was, take the muzzle end of your gun and put it 1 inch from the white side, because it's easier to see, of a standard USPSA target, and fire a shot and check the results. So I did that, and let me show you what the results of that was. So here's a standard USPSA target. Here's the white side, brown side. And so what I did was, at first, as a control, was to shoot just a regular limited, just my regular limited gun. This was, I've got it labeled here, no compensator, 135 grain, and I've got my load written on there. But this was shot out of my limited gun at the time. All the gas goes out the muzzle, and at 1 inch from the target, it blew this hole in the target. I mean, broke it right to the perf, tore a hole all the way out to here. So that's expected, right? That's totally expected. When you're 1 inch from the target, you're gonna just, all that gas is gonna blast the target. Now, that was my open division load through a limited gun. So the next thing I did was, I went to test the load that I felt like was getting close. Like I say, this was after a lot of experimentation. I was getting close, but I wanted to verify what I was feeling. I felt too much recoil, too much muzzle flip, and I felt like I could do better. So I wanted to test that load with this test right here, and the result of that is this. That is my Silhouette load. At the time, I was still using 140 grain bullets, and what you see here is a lot of black soot, a lot of scorch around the target, and a tear. If you see that tear, that means you got way too much gas going out the end of the compensator. So at that point, that's all I had to experiment with at the time. I put this target away and I thought to myself, okay, so that means I've worked this load up with that bullet weight, and worked it up enough until I get to a point where I make major power. That's the goal. Let's get up to like 170 power factor. And then tested the load, and sure enough, I got too much gas going out in the end. So that can be solved in a couple of different ways, but I didn't want to change my compensator. So the cheap thing to do is to, at the time, was to experiment with different powders. So I thought to myself as an engineer, okay, so what this is telling me that after the bullet's gone, it's still making gas. That powder is still burning and there's still excess gas that's going all the way through the comp and out the end. And that target proves that. So like I say, as an engineer, I'm thinking, okay, that means in order to get my load up to that velocity, essentially I have too much gas volume. I'm making too much gas to get that bullet up to speed. So I thought to myself, then let's up the gas pressure, less gas volume, but more gas pressure. That means accelerating the bullet faster under a shorter amount of time, i.e. shorter amount of distance, before it leaves the barrel, before it leaves the compensator. Let's have all that powder burnt up. And so what I did was I went up the burn rate chart and found another powder, which at the time, another recommendation I'd had was Power Pistol, Alliant Power Pistol. If you go up the burn rate chart to a you know, higher rankings, or rather smaller numbers, you know, closer to the top, you're getting faster and faster powders. So I go up the chart to find a faster powder. I land on Power Pistol, which I remembered someone else recommending I try that, so I got some and worked up a load with various bullet weights to chronograph, found some that made major, and resulted in the rest of the holes on this target. So again, let's revisit the silhouette. So again, we see we got a nice crisp hole, but we got some scorching and some powder burns and a tear in the target. And so this is what we see with my faster powder, which was Power Pistol. And what you see there is a nice crisp hole, a little bit of speckling around it because there's always going to be something that goes out the end. You're not going to be able to prevent all of it from going out the end of the compensator. But what you have here is a nice crisp hole, no tear. In this case, it was a 165 grain bullet. There is the 155 grain right there. And then the 135 grain right there. And this is the load I settled on. So all three of these, essentially what this tells you, what this told me at the time was that now I have the right combination of the load and the compensator. All three of these passed, all three of these up here passed the test, in this case, passed that test. And then it comes down to feel. It all comes down to feel. What does a gun feel like? How does a gun recoil? And all that stuff. And eventually what I settled on was the Rainier Ballistics 135 grain bullet with Power Pistol. The charge weight, I remember it, but I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say it, but I think it's a book load. Maybe it was written on there, I don't remember. But anyway, it was 135 grain with Power Pistol and loaded, it was loaded long for the STI. So if I had my load written on there, I don't, that's good. Work with your loading manuals and work up a load within the safe parameters. That's you know, our disclaimer all the time when we're talking about loads. I'm sure I did that, but for the STI, we load quite a bit longer, which drops the pressure down to safer levels in within the cartridge itself. So when I do this with the Glock, I'm gonna go through that process. I'm gonna start with the powder I've got right now, which is CFE Pistol from Hodgdon. And I'm going to begin working up this load. We've already talked about, I did use the load. We chronoed it on one episode. I used it on the hybrid open Glock on another episode. So that's the powder I'm going to be working with. And then it's all about selecting a compensator and then working that load, varying that powder charge to where I'm getting both major power and that all, or not, you know, you can't say all, but as much as possible of all that gas is exiting the comp, hitting those baffles and turning upwards, you know, which yanks the gun forward, puts a muzzle, pushes the muzzle down. That's going to be my process, is select a compensator, start working with that powder, and hopefully, from a financial perspective, I'm hoping that I land on something that works the first time. If not, then perhaps I'll have to change the comp, perhaps I'll have to find a different powder, but I'm so far from that right now. That's way down the road. First of all, you know, it's first I got to get the gun, then I got to get a compensator mounted up to it, then I'm ready to start playing with it. But I'm thinking about, so the CFE pistol is closer to Silhouette on the burn rate chart. It's like right next to Silhouette, just slightly faster. Well, I say slightly faster. I don't know how fast it is. The burn rate chart is not linear. It's just that this one's faster than that one and slower than that one, and that's all you know. You don't know how much faster it is. So always, if you're using a burn rate chart, use that to select a powder based on relative quickness or burn rate, but then go to your loading manual for that powder and then use the loading manual, always. You cannot base your load off of the powder next door. It doesn't work that way. So make sure you do that, work up your load safely. Most likely, since this CFE pistol is closer to Silhouette than it is Power Pistol, the two I have experience with. I also have experience with Autocomp, Winchester Autocomp. But since CFE pistol is closer to Silhouette, the compensator I start with for my 40 open Glock most likely will be the SJC 11 port compensator. That way it's got more chambers, and it's called 11 port, but it's like, it's really like five on top and three on the sides, or maybe it's six on top and two on the sides, something like that. It's got enough chambers to give that slower, relatively slower powder enough time and enough baffles to exit that compensator and work it properly. That's what I'm hoping for anyway. So as much as I don't really love the way that compensator looks, I think I'm going to start with that and see if it functions the way I think it will. And of course, we'll be talking about that as we go. But otherwise, I've got kind of a custom compensator designed trying to convince Taylor Freelance to build for me. So we'll see how that goes. Possibly Grizz Precision. We'll see how that goes as well. I'm probably going to be using Grizz Precision for mounting my optic to the slide, for cutting up the slide and all that good fun stuff too. So if you haven't heard of them, check them out. They're in Rainier, Washington, a little bit east of Olympia area, the state capital. And they're a bunch of good guys, and we're going to try to get them on the show at some point. That's kind of the how and the why, and to debunk the 40 doesn't make enough gas to work the compensator. The truth is, it makes too much gas, or it can make too much gas to work the compensator if you haven't done it right. So don't give up on it. If you've got a 40 open gun, if you're thinking about going down the route of the 40 open gun, don't give up on your idea. It works just fine. If you want any more tips and tricks and who's doing what, go check out the Brian Enos forum. Just do a search for 40 open, 40 open, and there's a thread from, who knows, 2008, I don't know. It's been quite a while that I started. I started the thread saying, let's make this the place that we can all talk about how and why and what we got and what we like for powders and bullets and magazines and all that stuff. It's your one-stop shop for 40 open. If you have any questions or if you want to see everyone else's experience. It can work quite well, and don't let anyone else dissuade you. If that's what you want to do, go for it. I'm going to do it, and of course, we're going to chronicle it here on the show. So, as always, if you have any questions for me or any of us, write us to our email address, powerfactorshow@gmail.com. Check out our website, powerfactorshow.com, and Facebook. Like us there. Search us on Facebook. Until next week. Talk to you later. Thanks.